I'm told the number one fear people have is speaking in public. It's the one fear I don't have. Join me for the Love Speak series, where we leave fear behind and we speak love. Loving our story, loving speaking, doing what we love, loving each other, and loving ourselves. Our stories are what connect us and make us better humans. So join me and my Love Speaks friends for some stories, some laughs, some inspiration, some speaker tips, and some unexpected truth. It's the Love Speaks series, where a little bit of love goes a long way.
Welcome to the Love Speaks series. Here's your host, Sally Lou Loveman.
We are speaking purpose today on the Love Speaks series, and my guest is living proof that purpose takes you exactly where you want to go. At a very early age, Danielle knew that she wanted to use her voice to move people, and today she is a TV host, an entertainment reporter, the founder of Pretty Smart, a platform that highlights women of all industries who are inspiring the next generation of women. She is an Instagram influencer with 222,000 followers. She completed a triathlon in her spare time this year. And let me tell you, she is just getting started. Please welcome my friend and fellow champion of women, Danielle Robay. Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Hi, Sally Lou. That was such a sweet intro. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, there's a lot of content when it comes to Danielle Robay. I will say you are young and you are just getting started, and yet you have a list of accomplishments and wonderful things that you have aspired to and are doing. And really, truly, I will say, I don't think I've ever met anyone quite like you. So I'm excited to have you here today. You are in LA. So unfortunately, you're not with me in Chicago, which for all the listeners listening, Danielle's a Chicago girl. Do you miss it?
I mean, Chicago through and through. That the people in the city have my heart. But not to interrupt you, I can't let the moment pass without saying that anything that I've ever been able to accomplish or do has been in large part because of people like you who have completely ushered my career and given me guidance along the way. So thank you. Those words mean a lot, especially coming from you.
Well, you're going to make me cry because you are a champion of women and you are a trailblazer and you are young. But I really, truly thank you. First of all, I really, truly believe that you are a trailblazer. And from a very young age, you wanted to be Barbara Walters, right? I mean, like,
yeah, it's true. Big shoes to fill, I guess.
Well, I feel like you're doing it in your own way. I want to say this. Danielle, I have known since she was in eighth grade. I saw her on the stage and of the eighth grade musical, and I couldn't take my eyes off of her. She's got the it factor, but she also has something way bigger than the it factor, and that is this incredibly beautiful soul. This is what I love about you, Danielle. You are an old soul. You are an incredibly engaged listener. You never make me feel my age, which is so kind, and you are kind. You are gorgeous inside and out. You're a good friend. You love a story, which makes me so happy. And you're so curious. Where does that curiosity come from?
I always think like people on the same wavelength connect, you know, like I feel like I see so much of myself in you. So that's so like, I don't know, it's so sweet to hear. But with the love of story, man, you know, when I was about 5 years old, my mom has recounted this story. She would say, you always said, tell me a good, bad story. Tell me a good, bad story. I don't know why I wanted bad stories. I think we see ourselves in other people's stories. And I was always just curious about what made people tick.
Right. Well, okay. Here's something really interesting. I saw your mom today. Okay, listeners, her mom is a friend of mine. I saw your mom today in my Pilates class. We've never run into each other that way, but here we were in Pilates class, and the entire time I'm thinking, I am talking to your daughter in 3 hours on my podcast. What can you tell me that you can't Google and that you can't find out, right? And so it was just so funny. And so here's what she said. She said when you were 5 years old and you went to the park, you would sit on her leg with the other moms and you would want to hear what they were talking about because you were interested in story. that young.
It's true.
She said even at 6 months, sitting in your high chair, you were following everyone's story with your eyes, like you were engaged. So this isn't just, oh, I want to be a TV host. I want to be on air. You do the red carpet better than anyone, and you make celebrities look amazing. Like, you bring out that human part of them. But this red carpet, in my opinion, I feel like is a means to really something so much bigger, which is really telling people's stories and connecting with their hearts and making a difference.
You're kind of speaking to my soul. Yeah, that is my purpose. You know, I had an interesting experience recently. I was up for a job at E! And when I was 22 and I moved to LA and I lived in a garage and, you know, the whole typical LA story, with right. no money and no connections. All I wanted to do was be Juliana Rancic.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to be on E! One day.
Right.
And, you know, I think you mentioned earlier that, like, I have a lot of fortitude, I think.
You do.
And so it was like, if I wanted to be on E!, I was going to figure out a way to do it. And I got my shot this year, which is, I think, like 6.5 years later. And there's a new senior vice president there. And our first meeting really connected. And I really respected her. And I left that meeting. I'd met at E! A few times and never gotten that vibe. And I left that meeting feeling like, wow, there's something here. Maybe this is the time. And they tested me out for 2 days. And I was on Daily Pop and then one other show. And I left those days and something didn't sit right in my stomach. Hmm. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And I realized that I had spent those hours talking about other people's lives, like celebrities who I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really my purpose. When I was 22, the dream was to be on E!, but 28-year-old Danielle is a different girl. And
right.
Everything you just said is my purpose. And I had to, like, kind of mourn the original dream to fit who I am now, which was hard.
So that's called growing. And you're very good at that. You were grown, you know, when I first met you in the eighth grade, and you were probably grown as you sat on your mother's leg in the park. But my question is, did the job not work out, or was it something you just said, I'm not interested?
I think maybe both.
Yeah.
I didn't really hear much feedback from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of let it go in my own mind.
Your heart was speaking.
Yeah. Something about it. I think, you know, you mentioned Pretty Smart, and that's...
That, I really want to talk about that.
That's really in line.
Okay, so before we get to Pretty Smart, because that's really, for me, it feels like your purpose. And but I've watched your sizzle reel, because I'm a TV girl. I've watched your sizzle reel. You are incredibly human. I mean, you are so human on that red carpet, and you can talk to any celebrity at any level, and you just make them shine. And, you know, you've said you want people to feel like they've been seen. And, oh, I'm sorry, maybe that's not what you said. That's what Larry King said. We're going to get to that, too, that quote that Larry King said about you, which is beautiful and right on. But you do make people feel seen. And even celebrities who are seen all the time feel, even in my opinion, because I see the way you are with them, even more so. Is there a moment that you felt that way? Like, wow, like I just really hit it out of the park with, I don't know, Will Smith or some, I don't know, somebody that is a celebrity. Therefore, they are human, but they are used to being seen, but felt even more seen by you. Does that make sense?
1,000%. And I really appreciate that, because, I'll tell you the moment, because one definitely sticks out. But when I first got to LA and started doing red carpets, if I'm really honest, I was always a pretty confident person, and I got to those red carpets and I looked to my left and my right, and there were women standing next to me that were like former beauty queens. They had long legs. I was 5'1". They had the perfect hair.
You've been on a box before.
Yeah, exactly.
You bring your box.
I always bring my Apple box everywhere. You know, like they had, you know, you get to LA and like somehow like they just make you over. I don't know what happens. Like they have the right clothing and the right, right. makeup. And I didn't really have any of that.
You get the look.
Yeah, exactly. And I was trying. I thought maybe I had it, but I didn't. And I looked to my left and right, and it was the first time I felt really insecure.
Yeah.
And I thought like, okay, I think comparison is the thief of joy. Like, how do I get over this?
It really is.
And so, right. And I was like, okay, I have to be the best version of me. And so I did a little journaling and I was like, what does that mean? Like, how do I become something on the red carpet that maybe they don't bring?
Right.
And I really made a conscious choice to try and bring all of myself, like the human part of me, to the red carpet. And I really did find that the celebrities, or the ones at least that I felt like on the same wavelength with, responded to that.
Well, okay. First of all, the metaphor of you looking to the left, looking to the right, comparison, and then just looking straight ahead and thinking, okay, I'm just going to be me. That's such a metaphor. And we should all really
thought about that.
Yeah, visualize that and feel it. And I love that the way you moved through it was through writing, because I really believe that writing heals us in every way. And the fact that you allowed yourself to journal through it is such a great lesson for anyone.
Yeah, I've always felt resistance to journaling for some reason. And you're right. There's something, instead of thinking it through, writing it down, you get to a different conclusion, I think.
Yeah. And it's real. It's definitely, you make it real by the fact that you've written it and so it is written. So therefore it is real. And you can always go back and refer to it and remind yourself that you are just you, and what you bring is different than everybody else.
Exactly.
Tell us about Pretty Smart and how long this has been in the making.
I think Pretty Smart has been in the making since sixth grade.
Absolutely.
What
happened in sixth grade?
So I did there was like a project that like you could choose any topic. It was like a 10-page project, and I chose her story instead of history.
Of course
you
did.
And I highlighted all of these. It was truly in me. Like, it was something I was interested in. Like, I highlighted Eleanor Roosevelt and, all these amazing women. And so that has been an ethos that I didn't even recognize was so a part of me until I think it was challenged.
Is this inquiry? Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Yes, I remember that. My children went to Danielle's high school, or middle school and high school. Yeah. So I know they're behind you, but I remember the Inquiry Project and you chose Herstory. Oh my gosh. I love this.
Funny, right?
So that's where it started. And now you're doing it. You're telling the stories of important women who are inspiring others. So tell us a little bit more.
Yeah. So I read a book called Beauty Sick by Dr. Renee Engelm. And she, in one of the first chapters, talks about a study that she did where she asked people in her classroom, would you rather be hit by a truck or considered fat?
Mm.
And 54% of women raised their hand and said they'd rather be hit by a truck.
Right.
And some other ones would raise their hand and say, well, how fast is the car going? Or like, is it a truck or a Prius?
Right. This is crazy. Like, okay, I still want to be hit by a truck, but I just want to know how bad it's going to be because I don't want to be fat.
Exactly. I am embarrassed to say how much that resonated with me.
Yeah.
And there was a point in my life where I would rather have been hit by a truck than be considered fat.
Right.
And thanks to like some awesome, nutritionist like Karen Malkin.
Right.
I have healed that part of me. But it's so prevalent in our culture. I think we tell women that the number one most important thing they must be is pretty. And so Pretty Smart was born because I want to focus on the women that are pretty bold and pretty witty and pretty strong and pretty smart, like the type of pretty that really matters.
Right.
And those are the women in my life, like you, who really are the trailblazers and who really inspire the next generation. And I think, similar to you, we see ourselves in other people's stories. And so I want those anecdotes now. You know, I think there's so many wonderful interview series out there that highlight people that are maybe a little bit older.
Right.
And so we're missing that millennial perspective.
Well, listen, anyone who thinks that millennials are lazy and into themselves haven't met you, and they haven't met every millennial I've ever met, because every millennial I've ever met is hardworking and hustling harder than ever. You are out there hustling, getting to the red carpet early, doing your own hair and makeup, doing your own wardrobe, doing your research, doing everything, doing your own editing, probably doing everything on your own. And by the time you get to where you want to be, to say, wait, you know, I'm at E, I thought this was where I want to be, but I really want to do this. And that was just pulling you all along since the sixth grade, like you said.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so purposeful and so right in your purpose. And it's so in your purpose that it's so obvious, right? I mean, it's a beautiful idea, but it's so obvious that you would be doing this, which is so cool. So where can we see it? Are you doing interviews? Are you doing events, things like that?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny you say it's so obvious, because I think it was almost too obvious that I pushed it to the background for some time.
Right.
I remember sort of telling you about the inklings.
I do.
Like 2 years
remember.
Ago.
I remember, because we said you should start something like The View, only with your, you know, millennial age
exactly.
people. And I still think that's a great idea. And I think your generation needs to be on air more. And listen, I watch the Today Show, and I love seeing Gotti Schwartz and Savannah Sellers. I think they are just add such an incredible new twist. My friend Alex Fiquet, who is not quite a millennial, but you know, on the cusp, and telling these beautiful stories from a different perspective, a little bit more social justice, and a little bit more just very, very different from the staid, tried and true voice that we're all so used to hearing. And your voice is not that you're disrupting anything, but you're just bringing a brand new thought to the table. Who is the woman you want to interview the most?
That's a great question. My long game number one interview is Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
I know she's somewhat of a controversial figure now, but I have been just kind of enthralled by her since I was younger. I think her fortitude and resilience and ability to rise above the fray is really remarkable. Like, I don't know if there's anybody who's been like a woman in the public eye who has been condemned the way she has and still perseveres.
Right. And you say she's controversial, but if she was a man, would she be as controversial?
Not at all.
Right.
Exactly. Well
right.
said.
Right.
And
right.
I think like a more imminent person I'm really excited about is, have you heard of Jameela Jamil?
No. Educate me.
So she's, I posted her on my Instagram. I think you actually commented. She says trying is winning. She is.
Did you say trying
so
is winning?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And she is so outspoken. She's an actress on The Good Place. She's like a British woman. She speaks about everything that is in line with the pretty smart ethos. So it would be such an honor to have her.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. I have to go look at your Instagram again and look for her. So
you'll love her.
Listen, I love you keep me so educated. You know, I have my kids who keep me up to date on music, and you really, I will say, following you on Instagram, one of your 222,000 followers, I will say that you post smart. You are posting things that I want to find out more about. So you're making us all think. And you definitely, you are an influencer, and yes, you get paid to post things probably as an influencer. But what the real truth is that following you, I feel like I've learned something, which is, I think, a wonderful idea of Instagram. Let's learn some things.
That's such a nice compliment. I actually went on Larry King's breakfast show, and he asked me to talk about digital media. And I felt like so honored that he even brought me on the show, that I was preparing so much because I really wanted to add value.
I'm sure you were nervous. And
I was so nervous. It was like this broadcast legend, and here right. I am trying to teach him something. Like, I could pass out. So I spent so many hours writing, because that's like how we get things out, about right. what influence is. And I think the word influencer is thrown around so much nowadays, and that trying to figure out what it meant to me actually brought me to this really interesting.
Oh, I read about this. I love this. I love this. I read this research. Okay, go.
Can we talk about it or no? Because I love your opinion.
Yes. Is this the Latin thing?
Yes.
Oh, go. Love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the word influence comes from the word influere in Latin, and it means to flow.
Right.
And your girl, who you kind of introduced me to, honestly, Oprah, says that when you are in a state of flow, your personality and your purpose are aligned.
Yes.
And that is so, I always like think personality, purpose, because so often when we feel out of alignment, it's because those are divergent. We're not living our truth.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that sort of authenticity is magic.
So that is the beauty of an influencer. And that's how you can change the way people think about that. And first of all, I know you're a fan because we've talked about Gary Zukav, and author of Seed of the Soul. And he, in Seed of the Soul, because I write about this in my book, is when the personality comes to serve the energy of the soul, that's authentic power. And Danielle,
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, your personality serves your soul, which is why you have purpose. That is
that's
the key.
So nice. I feel like not always, though. I go through it's phases, you have to like find your way back.
No one can ever be on all the time on anything. But for the most part, your purpose has been finding you since you sat on your mother's leg in the park to sixth grade to now. And if everyone listening, one of my questions was, you know, anyone listening, if they're struggling with their purpose, you know, that word gets thrown around a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
If they're struggling
with
their
purpose. Especially in 2019.
Yeah. And 2020's coming. But if they're struggling with their purpose, how do they find a way to find it? And here we have this right here. Oprah talks about it. Gary Zukav talks about it. You're welcome. Your personality, it was given to you on purpose. It was given to you on purpose. And whether you are an extrovert or not an extrovert, use your personality to find your authentic power, which is all through your soul. So that's what you're doing.
Yeah. Ugh. I also think there's like major power in being an introvert. I think we oftentimes sort of regale the extrovert in our society and the introvert gets sidelined, and there's so much power in that if we let it be powerful.
To all you introverts listening, God bless you. We need you more, because all these extroverts like moi is just like, and I know you're an extrovert, but you're a really good balance. I am more of an all one thing extrovert. You have a very special skill at listening and really taking people in, which is why you're so good at your job and your purpose.
That's so sweet. But you know, I actually learned that a true extrovert, it's like the definition is that you get energy from a group of people.
Yes.
And an introvert is like you get energy when you're alone. And I was like, oh my God, I'm an introvert. I had no idea.
Well, if that definition, then if you get fueled by being alone for, you know, when you're doing your thing, journaling or whatever you're doing, I get fueled by being in front of an audience as the former Oprah Winfrey Show audience producer. And so once we know how we function, it is really efficient to understand and say, oh, I need some alone time, or, oh, I need some group, you know, face-to-face time. And I think that's wonderful. How can you help people out there who are really looking for their purpose? What's your advice?
That's a good question. You know, I felt like kind of lost at one point, and someone said to me, stop belaboring over what you want to do. Because that's kind of a hard question to answer, especially if you have like different interests and financial restrictions, like whatever you feel yeah. is holding you back.
Yeah.
And focus on who you want to be in the world.
Right.
And I thought that was really good advice. And I wrote down, like, what's the type of person I want to be? I want to be a giver. Service is important. I want to be a storyteller. I want to be an arbiter of news. Like, I started writing down all of these things that felt fulfilling to me. And you kind of look, like, I looked at that and I looked at, like, what are my innate skill sets?
Yeah.
And what does it lend itself to? And there's this great thinker, Adam Grant, and he talks about passion. He said, like, people are often told to follow their passion. And sometimes that's, like, a bit overwhelming.
Yes.
Like, look at what you're really good at and try. Yeah. And by trying things you're not good at or trying things that don't bring you joy, that's helpful in finding your purpose, too.
Extremely. I always love to ask people what their talent is and figure out how it ties into their career. Or it really also helps people find a career, because when we do what we are naturally gifted at doing, then everything yeah. becomes so much easier. Like, I was just talking to Jeremy, who's our engineer, and he was talking about how he loves to mic a drum. Okay. I'm like, why? And he's talking about the snare and the this and the that. And he's like, it's the hardest instrument to mic. Now, let me tell you something. He's at Mystery Street Recording Company here where I am recording from. And when someone comes in, a group or a band, he is in his flow and in his purpose, micing that damn drum. So what is it?
Wow.
Right. So what is it? Like, for me, I loved puzzles as a kid. And I realized that seating the Oprah Winfrey Show audience was a complete puzzle for me. It's like every person made up the whole, and one missing piece was like not good. Like, come on, we got to get the whole piece right. And it depended on what they were wearing and their energy and the fans and the VIPs. Mm-hmm. And it was all a big puzzle. So for me, that was how that is how I use my talent. I also, when I was a kid, I used to do like recordings in my basement on a reel-to-reel, tape recorder. That's one of those things called.
I didn't know that.
With my sisters, and we'd pretend we were on the news, and I'd pretend to interview them. So that to me is podcast, right? So what were you really talented at as a kid, besides, I know you were a great ice skater and you were on the stage as an actor and singer and using your voice, but do you remember other talents you had that you're using today?
That's really interesting. No one's ever asked me that.
Love speaks.
Yeah, you're so good. I feel conflicted by that question, actually, because
okay.
The first thing that came to mind was that I loved performing. I loved being on stage.
Right.
But that really shifted later in life, and I felt shy and embarrassed almost by it. Like, I really didn't want to be at the forefront.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm not sure what shifted.
Right.
But there was definitely something. I think something I'm using now that I use on the red carpet and maybe is disarming is I'm really not judgmental. Like, I almost to my detriment in like partner relationships, because I don't feel like there's one way to do anything. And I'm so open to learning and wanting to know maybe there's a better way.
Okay.
And so I think I was always good at making people feel comfortable, because when there's no judgment, then everyone's willing to talk.
Right. There's no fear. There's no fear. Well, that definitely translates in every interview that you do. And clearly people feel that energy. And that is a talent that you are now using for your purpose in your career. So that's kind of cool.
I don't know if I've ever asked you this, and let me know if now is not the time, but how did you even become... Like, how did you become Oprah's audience coordinator? I didn't even know your path.
Well, the whole girl with the clipboard. I went to the Mike Douglas show, saw the girl with the clipboard, blah, blah, blah. Always knew I wanted to work in TV. And when I came to Chicago for a television job, it was the same year Oprah moved to Chicago. I was working at the PBS station here in Chicago. And so I'm like, oh, my God, I've always wanted to work on a talk show. And here I am. And here's this woman. But her show was local. Then it went national. And when it went national, I applied for the job and I interviewed with her, but I didn't get it. Somebody else did, named Rudy, who became my friend. A year later, they called me and said, you know what? We need you. Can you start tomorrow or whatever it was? It was very quick.
Wow.
And I was like, yes. And the position that was available, the only position, was audience coordinator. Now, little did I know that would put me in the studio with a clipboard every day. And little did I know that when they said, oh, we need someone to warm up the audience, you do it, Sally Lou. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? And that's how it just all started. I fast forward, I became a producer there. I was one of the worst producers there possible. I hated it. I didn't like the idea of people canceling. I didn't love writing at the time. I didn't love being in charge. I wanted to still be in the studio with the people. And so eventually when I left, because I didn't want to fail at my job, and then I had babies, blah, 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 I got to go, and then I freelanced all the time, and then I got to go back as the audience producer. And I was like, yes. And I remember they said, oh, this is a little beneath you. You probably don't want this. I'm like, oh, I want this, and I'm going to make this bigger and better than anything, because it's my seat. It's where I feel comfortable. It feels like it's hard work, but it feels like flow to me. Like you said, the Latin word, it feels like flow. And instead of apologizing for saying, oh, I should be a producer, because, you know, that's the ultimate goal for most people, I'm like, oh, no, I'm an audience producer. And that's what I love doing. I still, to this day, love it. I still do some consulting with shows, and I love it. It still feels just as fresh to me as it did in 1900.
You have this like really incredible way of connecting with people individually when they're in a huge group, because I've now, over the course of my career, gone and been an audience member in a ton of morning shows and late night shows, and like, you know, just doing research, seeing all of them. And there's audience coordinators always. And I think I was spoiled by seeing you, because it's such a different experience when you're the one,
you know what,
leading the charge.
I'm having a light bulb moment right now, and I'm just, it's so typical, because you're the one making me have it. So it makes sense. I'm having a light bulb moment because I've worked in New York several times on several shows, and they want nothing to do with me. They do not want me to do the warm up. I've tried for different networks, and they always bring in the stand-up comic. The white male stand-up comic. I'm not going to say they're the worst,
show.
But I will say that it is a thing.
I've never seen a funny one.
It's a thing. And I realize my feelings have been hurt. But what I realize right now as you're speaking to me is that there was only one Oprah. There was only one show that would have used my skill set and for it to make sense. And that was the Oprah Winfrey Show. And that's why it worked. And I still think it could work for other shows, but it doesn't work. The people running those shows, they don't see me. They don't see the value that I have that way. They only think that people need to be entertained. They don't need to be entertained. They need to be seen. They need to be heard. And they need to be valued. But what do I know?
Yeah. No, you're right. They need to feel like you're in your own little community for an hour and a half, whatever that is. If you don't feel connected, doesn't have the same.
At the Oprah show, people came to see Oprah, but what I wanted them to feel was that they came together, and that's the journey that they get to keep forever. And that's the difference between what we did at the Oprah show and what people do at other shows. People are like, get in, get out. We've got another show.
It's kind of crazy to me that even like Oprah's a pretty proven commodity. They can't see the value in that.
I'm just saying that you just made me see things very differently. So I'm just saying thank you. But let's get back to you. I want to tell everybody listening what Larry King, you said you were sitting there and did you teach him about digital media and all of that? Did he have a moment where he was like, thank you, Danielle?
You know, in true Larry King fashion, he's really smart.
Yes.
He was sitting there intently listening, and he listened for so long that I was wondering if he had tuned me out or not.
Did you have to check his breath?
Yeah, Blair, I'm like, oh my God, I'm boring Larry. Yeah, I'm boring Larry King. This is the worst moment of my career. And I paused for a moment and he looks at me and he has this wonderful sort of like bellowed, like very guttural voice.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and asked the most intuitive, thoughtful question that I was even like shocked that he would know about, because he doesn't, he has, he texts like T9. He has a flip phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, he was listening.
Wow.
Like he taught me something.
What did he teach you?
He compared the digital era to his era of broadcast and talked about like the different ways of connecting, but that it was really all the sort of the same human connection.
Right.
And the way he articulated it was beautiful. And he's right. It's just it's a new venue.
It's a new vehicle. Well, let me tell you and remind you and let the listeners hear what Larry King said about you. Danielle finds a way to draw people out. She can't help it. And you can't help but oblige. This is the case for anyone in her presence, whether you're a writer, a hermit, or a five-star celebrity, because Danielle has the ability to make people feel seen. I love this quote because he is so right. How did he get it so quickly? I mean, that's so cool.
That's so nice. He and I started having breakfast together actually at this deli. And it would be like every 2 months I would go, and he has this crew of friends from growing up that he has breakfast with, and I would join. And I really would just like every moment I valued, and I would try and pick his brain. And he used to tell me that like if he has one question he's missed out on in his life, and he wanted to ask Osama bin Laden like a final question. And just like all these incredible anecdotes, he's spoken to truly almost everybody, every notable public person. And we just connected. I don't know what it was, but he's a really special guy, and he's so mature. Like he's older now.
Right.
And yet his spirit is so young. Like he totally gets it. It's remarkable.
Right.
It was really cool.
Well, I think that, talk about being smart. I think that anyone who is in partnership with a millennial, if you are a middle-aged or higher person, or if you are a millennial and partnering up with someone who is that age, I mean, you need the wisdom to partner with this new digital age and all the way that millennials think and how much you want to solve the problems that the okay boomers have left for you to solve. And I think that there's nothing more beautiful than a relationship like that. I mean, yes, there are mentor and mentee relationships, but the kind of relationship where you can sit down with someone in your industry who has seen it all and be seen like that and really, really take in his lessons. That is a beautiful thing.
It really is. And I think he makes people feel seen. There's something about him. Like when you're in his presence, you feel really special. And once I garnered that, I was like, oh, that's why he's so good at his job. Like you feel like there's a million people in the room and it's only you and Larry.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
Well, you do the same thing. So I guess that is why you're having breakfast with him. I think that makes sense. You are the voice of the new Apple podcast, Epstein, Devil in Darkness.
Yeah.
Tell me and everyone about that.
That was a heavy one.
Wow.
It was my first podcast. I've never narrated anything in that way. I've done a lot of voice work before, like for radio, but not a podcast storytelling format. So it was a big learning curve for me, actually. But that's part of what's cool in our industry is like every day is a fire drill. You know, it's never really the same.
Right.
And you're always pushing yourself. So it was it's a sad, sad story, but I felt lucky to be able to be a part of the storytelling. They gave me the reporters on it are so smart, but they also allowed me to like change anything that I felt, you know, was worded differently. And I think I just read this quote, like you have to ask who's telling the story and who's left out of the story and why they're telling the story. Like every time you read or listen to something on the news.
So interesting.
And it really is. And they don't really teach you that in school.
Right.
But especially now in this day and age, it's super important to ask who's telling the story and who's left out of it.
Right.
And I felt like the Epstein story, or like what has sort of developed out of it, was searching for answers to those questions.
Right. Wow. And you're finished that, right? We can find it on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, I finished it. I'm actually doing a new one for the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Oh, my goodness.
Have all this new information. So it's been super interesting.
Wow. Well, you have this thing that you call pop politics, that you really believe pop culture is your generation's cultural currency. And mm-hmm. so you can talk pop culture and you can talk politics all in the same breath, and you call it cerebral entertainment, which I think is so cool. It makes so much sense. Is that your lane? Is that where you see yourself going?
I think it's part of my purpose for sure. When I moved to LA, a lot of my family is very, education is super important. My grandparents were professors and everything was about like learning and what are you sort of pursuing at this moment. Mm-hmm. And when I got to LA and started doing entertainment reporting, I saw the way people looked at me, and they looked at me like I was vapid and like kind of an idiot. And that hurt me to my core. Cause if I go back to like, you know, if I talk to my therapist about it, she would be like, well, yeah, like all of your sort of like personal identity is wrapped up in being somebody who is smart and nobody's looking at you that way. So that's
because you're absolutely breathtakingly beautiful and you have a beautiful.
No.
Well, it is true. I mean, people see you, and if they don't know you, they just think that you are just potentially a person that is beautiful on the exterior, and you are. But you have to work harder for people to even see you as someone who is really here to deliver a smart message.
I honestly, I appreciate that, but I really think too, it's like people see entertainment as something that's vapid.
Oh, true.
And so I always felt like I was pushing against that. And I was like, okay, purpose is why.
Right.
It's like, why do I like entertainment? And I was like, you know what? It's because it holds a mirror up to where we're at in culture. Like it informs us, but like we get to inform it. And so it's sort of like the, you are what you eat. Right. And I felt like, why do we have to, it was during the time of reality TV where it was like at the height of Real Housewives and, you know, like all these kind of gross shows, not that that's gross, but just like lowbrow shows.
Right.
And it was like, why do we have, like, why is this what we're craving? Like, why don't we feed people something that's entertaining, but of value?
Right.
And I don't know, I felt like a responsibility always.
Well, you have a unique talent of bringing people together anyway. So whether it's over the common thread of pop culture, you can always take it further. Like you could, like, I think I read somewhere where you could talk about a meme and make it meaningful. Like you can take the pop culture thing, whatever's happening, and then take it on to have a really deep and meaningful conversation.
Oh, for sure. Like I even think, you know, the Kardashians obviously come to mind, but do you remember when Kim Kardashian had that paper magazine cover where her booty broke the internet?
Yes, yes, yes.
And it was like culturally iconic.
Right.
And I remember seeing everybody write in her comments on Instagram, like, how could you do this? You're a mom.
Right.
And I thought to myself, like, are you mad at her because she's a mom? Are you mad because you don't like Kardashian culture? Because I think it actually has more to do with the fact that we desexualize moms.
Right.
And I was like, that's an important topic. And Kim just started that conversation.
And she had no idea. Exactly.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
So I think there's always like something we can take, you know?
Right. Right. You were raised by an amazing woman, your mom, and amazing grandmothers, I understand. What did your mom teach you?
Wow. She really taught me a lot. She always says to me, lessons are caught, not taught.
Oh, you shared that with me once. Say that again.
Lessons are caught, not taught.
I love that.
Me too. And she's the one that always said it to me. I think we kind of watch, especially kids, we watch our parents and see how they live, right. you know, instead of right. what they say to us. But right. I really admire the friend that she is. Like, she really emphasizes community, and yeah. she has such a heart of service. Like, she sells mortgages, and I saw her growing up, spending so much time and energy, and even at the cost of her own financial gain, trying to get people like qualified to get a home. Right. And she would take on the cases no one else would take.
Right.
And it wasn't because of it. She didn't make any more money. She did it because she really wanted to help them. Right. And I think like she used her skill set to do so.
Right.
And that was always really inspiring to me. She's kind.
She is kind. You know? She's very kind.
Yeah.
She's very kind. And you obviously have the same thread running through your DNA with all that you do to give back with Planned Parenthood and Step Up Women's Network. And, you know, how much is that part of your purpose with giving back?
Yeah, it's huge. I actually didn't grow up with much service in my life. My mom will say that that's kind of her biggest regret is mm-hmm. she didn't necessarily instill that in us. I think she didn't know it was such a part of her either.
Yeah,
and,
interesting.
Later in life, I met somebody who was really had that heart of service. Mm-hmm. And I saw how much joy, it was my mentor, Steve Carlston, and he takes so much time to give back. And I saw how much joy it brought him.
Right.
And I was like, maybe I should try this. And once you try it, I mean,
you're hooked.
It's almost selfish. Like, you're addicted. It's amazing.
Totally. It is a nice little drug that works in everyone's favor. Yeah. Yeah.
It does. It's like, if you're sad, if you're anything, like, go, you know?
Well, I hope that you will have a give back, and I'm sure you will have it in the works with Pretty Smart. I'm sure that there are so many young women coming up who will want to benefit from this platform. And I know you have millions of things probably already churning in your head. I can only imagine. Where does Robay come from? Because I know that's not your last name.
Yeah, it's my middle name. My mom actually created it. It is my two grandmothers' names, Rhodey and Barbara. So R-O and B-A.
That's so cool. I never knew that.
It's very cool. I think that my mom actually knew. She said, you have to be named after two strong women. So even before her story, I think she implemented that. It was part of my DNA.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
What no launched you?
What no?
Yeah. What no in your life launched you? What gave you?
Oh, that is an amazing question. Wow. Can I steal that one? That's so good.
You can have it. You can have it.
That is so brilliant. What no launched me? Oh, wow. That's a good one. I think, go ahead.
I'm about to answer. No, you answer. I'm being your mother. I'm like, I think I know, but I'm going to let you say
Please
it.
Tell me.
No, you say
which
it.
Which one?
It wasn't really a no, though. That was the thing. It was you were the youngest anchor, morning anchor here in Chicago for a show, and you stayed a season, which was awesome. So it wasn't a no, but you left to go back to LA to probably continue what your purpose was. And I'm just wondering, like, if did that 1 year in Chicago doing the morning show, did that change the way you saw your future?
Yes, you're right. That was a major course adjustment, that moment.
It's not a no for sure, but it's a course adjustment.
Well,
yeah.
It was kind of a no. I mean, we've talked about this privately, but
yeah.
My male co-host was making a lot more. I think it was like a third more than I was.
Right.
And I never told anyone. I kind of just like left on pleasant terms.
Right.
And I still don't know if
that
was the
right
decision.
Do you regret that?
Part of me does. I felt like no one would care. And yeah. So I didn't want to be like a drop in the bucket and never get another job.
Right. Such a slippery slope.
It really is. But the looking back, I think I wish I would have said something, because I didn't even tell them that's why I left. Like, I left on great terms.
And
I've separated it from the fact that I'm really grateful. I think specifically for women, and a lot of times in media, they make you feel like you have to be really grateful for the job because there's so many other people that want it.
Right.
And I've separated feeling incredibly grateful for the opportunity in the job, and also knowing that it's completely unfair and should be illegal to be paid so desperately.
Totally. And then you went ahead and emceed the equal pay rally for women.
Yeah. Exactly.
you brought a little personal experience to it, and I'm and we all have all had it.
We covered when Kat Sadler left E, we covered that story.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit dramatic. Like, I'm definitely an emotional person, and I went into my dressing room to put my makeup on, and as we were prepping for that show, I called my mom hysterically crying.
Ugh.
And I was like, this is so embarrassing, because I am sitting talking about this moment and I'm the cat on the show.
Right.
I know. I'm looking at my co-host, who, by the way, has nothing to do with it. I like him entirely, you know, like, I'm just staring at this guy who I know is making more money than me and doing the same job. You know, if not, I was doing more.
Right.
And so it was a tough moment. And she was like, Stat, you're being dramatic. Like, just go to your job.
Right.
But it felt deeply personal. And when I look back on it, I wish that I would have been more vocal.
Guess what? Sadly, there's going to be another opportunity for you to speak up and use your voice the way you do in your own work. And you'll do it for yourself. But think of it not as doing it for yourself. Think of it as doing it for somebody else coming up the way. And that you will have no problem doing. Take yourself out of the equation. Yeah. Take yourself out of it and just know you're doing it for everybody that's coming behind you or currently with you, you know?
Gloria Steinem said, I like love everything she writes. And
I know.
She says that one of the most feminist things we can do is tell our story, like be honest about telling our story.
Yes.
And I think so oftentimes we kind of either sugarcoat or change the story a little. And I kind of did that, right? Like I didn't really tell the full story. And so I do think there will be an opportunity, and hopefully with Pretty Smart, we can be more honest. You know?
And you, first of all, you've got the platform, but my innuendo was, you are just beginning this incredible journey that you're on, and you're going to have many, many, many more opportunities to host and to be on television and to be on broadcast television or cable television or whatever television you land on, or on online television. And there's going to be a male counterpart probably, and you are going to be able to speak up, and you're going to be able to get that equal pay, and you're going to be able to make that change. I guarantee you. We are almost out of time, so I'm going to just say a quick couple things. I'll never forget the time in Starbucks, and you came up to me and you said, Sally Lou, you were in college, the University of Wisconsin, and you said, I have a chance to have an internship this summer at MTV in New York, or this new show, Windy City Live. What should I take? Do you remember? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that conversation?
I'll never forget it. Do you remember what you said to me?
I do, but what, you tell me what I said to you.
You said, there's two things you said that have stuck with me my whole life, and things that I pass on when other people ask me questions. You said, first of all, really cool. Congratulations.
True.
And don't feel stressed, because as Oprah says, don't block your blessing.
Yeah.
That was one thing I loved you said. And then you said to me, you know, I know MTV sounds really exciting, but I have a feeling that you're going to be getting coffee and filing things. And this new show, Windy City Live, it's always really special to be a part of something from the beginning.
Yeah.
And you were 100% right. It was a perspective only somebody with wisdom and experience could have given me, because MTV is sexy, right?
It's like, so
we all grew up watching it.
So sexy.
It's like, I was like, I'm turning down MTV for this random morning show that's not tested.
Right.
And I got not just the best work experience and life experience out of that, but relationships that I hold today that have amplified my career and my personal life. it was such a launching pad.
Oh, I'm so loving that. I love that. And you really got some on-air work, I feel like, or maybe you were able to do a reel. So when you went out to LA, you actually had something to show people. I don't know that you were on air, but they helped you. And I think that you can only do that when you are in a startup kind of situation where it's all hands on deck. So
it's, I think that's so true.
Super cool. Okay. Lightning round of things that you love. Currently loving. What's your favorite word that you love?
Ooh. There's a Hebrew word I use all the time. It's neshama, and it means soul.
I like
and
that.
And that to me, I try to find everybody's soul.
Neshama. I love that. Okay. Thank you. Time of day. What's your favorite time of day that you love?
I love like 5:30, 6 o'clock when the sun is setting. They call it golden hour.
Right.
It's probably different depending on where you live, but when the sun is setting and you're hopefully kind of done with the stress of the day and can reflect and just take a moment. I love that.
Love that. TV series that you love the most currently?
Oh, I am obsessed with Four Weddings and a Funeral on Hulu.
It is the best
show I have watched in years. You need to watch it with your daughter. It is incredible.
Is it based on the movie?
So Mindy Kaling wrote a one-season. Yeah, it's a mini series. She's not in it. She wrote and produced it.
But she's a goddess.
She is truly. She needs to be on Pretty Smart and your podcast.
So needs to be on Pretty Smart. And oh my gosh. Okay.
And love speaks, but she wrote it, and of course she's so funny. But it is, I haven't seen a writer and a cast get millennial dating culture and sort of just like what it's like to grow up right now.
I love this. I need a new show because I just finished. Well, of course, Schitt's Creek. I'm waiting for the sixth season. I can't wait. And I just finished The Morning Show, which is scarily familiar.
Too close to home.
Ooh, baby! Wow!
I feel like anybody who's worked in television is like addicted and also somewhat traumatized by watching the show.
Were they sitting in the meeting? Oh my God.
Yes.
Okay, that. And then I also, what was the other one that I watched recently? Oh my God, my brain is dead. So I'm excited. Okay, I'm going to watch Four Weddings and a Funeral. I just watched Seth Meyers stand up, Lobby Baby. Hilarious.
Really? Okay, I'm going to put that on my list.
Hilarious. What do you love the most about you?
Oh, wow. I think I'm really loyal and sometimes maybe to my detriment, but it's a quality I admire in other people, so I recognize it in myself.
I see that. Well, all I can say is, you know what? Before we close, because we've got about 2 minutes, what's exciting you the most right now and where can people find you? Two questions.
What's exciting me the most? Jane Fonda is lighting up my life. Okay. I am so inspired by her.
You're such an old soul.
She's amazing. I'm dying to meet her and speak to her, but she puts everything on the line and she puts her money where her mouth is. Like she let me use another metaphor. She walks the walk.
She is incredible.
She's marching for climate change and is getting arrested every Friday because of it. And she just came out and said she needed a red coat for the march. And so she bought a red coat on sale and she promises it is the last piece of clothing she will ever buy because she's fighting against consumerism as well.
Oh,
and that's
my
obviously
gosh.
A part of climate change.
Right.
But she is she's constantly pushing forward and I think she's 80 something.
Right.
And to have that sort of hunger and purpose.
She's got hunger and purpose like no one's ever seen. And she truly, truly, in my opinion, is the most magnificent woman on the planet Earth. Forget Hollywood. On the planet Earth. Like, just gorgeous. And she wears it well.
I have a question for you quickly, if you don't mind.
I hope that Mindy Kaling and Gloria Steinem and Jane Fonda and Hillary Clinton will all be people that you interview on your platform, and I know I'm pretty smart, and I know that they are in your future. Let it be said. Let it be heard.
To the universe.
Let it be heard, universe. Okay, ask me a question, then I'm going to say goodbye.
Okay, so quickly on Jane Fonda.
Yes.
She did a documentary, and it was, I think, 3 or 4 parts, and each part was characterized by the man she was with in her life. And the last part of it was her own, like she was standing on her own, and she said she'll probably never be in another relationship.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so interesting that, like, one of the most ardent feminists in our public culture made an entire documentary, like, characterizing her life based on the men she was with.
Right.
And I'm curious as to what you think about it.
Well, listen, I think that she knows who she is. There's no question about it. But it is so interesting to see your choice of partner, whether it's a man, woman, doesn't matter, whoever you are, your choice of partner for the period of life that you're in. Because like you said, we are always in flow. And like I said, we're always growing. So it's not so much about, oh, this is what my life was like with him. It's more like, this is where I was in my life. So, and this is the partner that I had. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's more about your life in the moment than it is about who you chose to be with.
Yeah. I think we kind of grow into a place where we find a person that's probably good for that moment in time.
Exactly. And, you know, cheers to all the people out there who are fighting the fight of, you know, staying in a relationship, one relationship, because it ain't easy.
Yeah, I haven't figured that one out yet. So that's for round 2.
Chapter 13 in my book, Speak. It ain't easy. I think it's chapter 11, which is kind of funny. Chapter 11.
Yeah, very
it
funny.
It broke me. Yeah, it's chapter 11.
But it didn't.
I know. It built me.
It broke you only to put you back together in an amazing way.
Listen, in keeping with what we're talking about, my therapist the other day, I said to her, I'm like, I'm sick of the drama. I was talking to my little girl, okay? And she's got me in the, you know, the little girl chair, and I'm looking at the little girl chair, and I'm like, oh, everything was so easy and happy. I'm sick of the drama. And she said, why do you call it drama? And I go, I don't know. It feels like it. And she's like, call it growing. You're just growing. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh my God, I am. Okay, I'm going to go with growing. So next time someone says, hey, how are you? I'm growing.
Oh, I love that.
Let's work on that. Oh my God, Danielle, I've known you since the 8th grade. You continue to teach me so much. You've called me a mentor, which is a high compliment. You are way more mentor to me than I am to you. You have grown into someone that I admire and love. And when they say that the future is female, I truly believe it, because you are leading the way and you're taking us all with you. I want to thank you today for being on the Love Speaks series podcast. Where can people find you?
Thank you so much. I really feel like you have led the charge, and I'm constantly grateful to be in your presence. I learn from you every time we speak, and that's just so rare. So thank you. Even in this interview, I've learned from you. So thank you.
Well, it's mutual. Thank you.
Everyone, you can find me at Danielle Robay on everything, Twitter, Instagram, all of the internet.
R-O-B-A-Y, Danielle Robay, at Danielle Robay. Find her. You will be better for it. And I thank you, darling friend of mine. I can't wait to see what else is in store for you, because I know it's massive and wonderful and beautiful. And I can't wait to be cheering along the way. Thank you.
So Sally Lou, will you be on Pretty Smart?
Yes, please. And we didn't get to even talk about the triathlon and all this. Okay, part two in a few months, because there will be more.
Triathlon and relationships.
I specifically didn't ask you about that, but that's okay. We will talk next about triathlon and, you know, going the distance with relationships and triathlon. There you go. I love you, Danielle Robay.
I love you so much, Sally Lou.
Get back to your busy world. I love you back, and thanks for your time.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, bye. Love you. I have loved speaking with you today, and I want to speak with you more. So follow me on all of my social platforms at Live Love Speaks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you want more stories like the stories we speak here on the Love Speaks series podcast, go to lovespeaks.com and pick up a copy of my new book, Speak. Love your story, your audience is waiting to step up your speaking game and your human game. Check out my blog while you're there.
Sally Lou Loveman is a mom, speaker, author, former audience producer for The Oprah Winfrey Show, and founder of Love Speaks. Each week, Sally Lou and her crew have a conversation about how love speaks in their lives and how it can speak in yours. From kindness to composting, no topic is off limits. If you need a community to kickstart your heart, you need the Love Speaks series.
Thanks for listening. Your love speaks.